Welcome to Winning Is Not Everything, where we bring sanity back to youth sports by focusing on character development, effort, and sportsmanship, not rankings and trophies, and conversations with some of your favorite athletes and coaches. I'm your host, Sean Jensen, former NFL reporter, children's book author, and youth sports coach. Today, I have part two of my conversation with Anthony Spice Adams, who's becoming such a big star off the field that people are forgetting that he played 9 NFL seasons. Anthony's going to share advice he would give himself as a boy, some hard conversations he's had with his own son, and his comical debut in football as a kid. Let's get to it. One of the connections Anthony Adams and I share is the city of Detroit. I'm not from there, but my wife is, and both of them are proud to be from Motown. Anthony had a lot of childhood challenges, but he also has some great memories, including some tight friends he still communicates with all the time. One of them I know well, Ron Johnson, who starred at the University of Minnesota as receiver and now is a sports personality for a local TV station and radio station. Anthony and I also share a deep connection around our appreciation for being a husband and father. There were some things missing from both of our childhoods that intensified what we wanted in our own families. For each individual, pain and trauma usually goes one of two ways. They can repeat it or they can run from it. Anthony's home now, with his wife and 4 children, is far different from the home he grew up in. Not that he's not thankful or the least bit bitter, but he wanted something different. His NFL career played a huge role in creating his family's wonderful life, but it also came at a cost. Tune in now to learn what I mean. What's one thing you'd tell your 8, 12, and 16-year-old self?
At 8, I probably would say, stop eating so much Doritos. Like, I would eat a family-sized bag of Doritos in one sitting, just like watching, you know, Cosby Show or Scooby-Doo or something like that. 12 years old, I would tell myself to just, like, keep going and not be discouraged. And at this point, I was doing well because I had just got over the fear of, like, what my appearance was. So my cousins, who were older, they used to always crack jokes on me. But at this particular age, at 12, I just started to, like, really start to, like, feel myself. And just to the point where I'm like, hey, look, I accept who I am. And, you know, just because I'm big, whatever, like, I still give you work out here on this dance floor. I still give you work out here on this basketball court. So I would tell my 12-year-old self, hey, man, keep going. You're doing well. Pretty soon, everybody that's making fun of you gonna wish they were your size. My mom never told me, like, hey, you know, you can't do the things that those little guys are doing. She was just like, man, you could do just as good as those little boys who are doing, like I used to do backwards flips, like no hands, like half twist, full twist, like all that stuff, even at 12. And so she was like, you know, whatever those little boys are doing, you can do the same thing. And she was like, she told me, hey, take your shirt off. Because my cousins, they used to play basketball with their shirt off. And so I was always the one with my shirt on, like, nah, I can't do that. Like, I got too much flab. Like, I ain't got no abs or none of that stuff that they got right there. And my mom was like, no. She told me, like, take your shirt off now. And I'm like, Mom, no, I don't want to take my shirt off. They're going to talk about me. She basically took it off, like, boom, like, go outside right now. And so I'll be outside with my shirt off. And sure enough, they'd be cracking jokes and stuff like that till they got to the point where I was just like, I started cracking on them. So I started cracking on jokes about them and their appearance and stuff like that. Like, you talking about me? Like, look at your teeth. Like, your teeth caked up with all this plaque. How you gonna talk about my body? Like, so, I mean, it got to the point where once I got 12, they was like, all right, he don't seem like he 12. Like, you know, like, he good to go now. So then I was, like, able to, like, really start going to, like, Joe Dumars' field house and, like, really hoop with them. Like, it got to the point where it was just, like, nothing really, like, could faze me. But it took me a while to get there. But so to answer your question, at 12, I'll just say keep going. So 16, now I got a license. I'm driving. I would tell my 16-year-old self, really take it all in and enjoy being a 16-year-old, because it's going to change when you turn 18. And, you know, you got to do your own laundry. You got to wake yourself up. You don't have mom there who's going to do all these things that you've been taking for granted. That's what I be telling my son now. Like, look, man, you're sitting here, you're enjoying this Wi-Fi. You enjoy this water. When you become a grown-up, man, you got to worry about taxes. You got to worry about the light bill, the cable bill, the gas, electric, like all of this stuff. I'm like, man, you better enjoy this right now. So I'm like, man, you take out the trash, you clean up after yourself, and you clean your room, and you get good grades. Like, that's your job. I was like, man, when you get a job, like, out here, when you're an adult, it's real. And so, you know, that's what I be trying to tell him. But he's like one of those type of kids where, like, he has to learn, like, when it happens to him. And then he'd be like, oh, that's what you were talking about. Like, yeah, that's what I was talking about.
How did persevering through your challenges ultimately help you to become the man you are today?
It built character. You know, because you've been through something. So now I have something to tell my kids. And, you know, pressure, it could either build diamonds or it could burst pipes. You know, you either feel pressure or you apply pressure, you know. And so when that happens, what do you do? And I found out that whenever the pressure is applied to me, that's when I'm like the most calmest. I think that's why like a lot of defensive tackles or ends or whatever like playing with me, because I kind of prided myself in knowing like what my defensive tackle was supposed to do on a particular play and what my defensive end was supposed to do as well. Not saying that everybody looked at me like, oh, what do I do? But I knew what everybody was supposed to do up front. And so if we were practicing an offensive look that a team gave us and then they came out with something different and, you know, it was like, oh, okay, it's strong right. Now the tight end shifts. Oh, now it's strong left. Like, now we got to throw out everything that we learned and do this. You know, I was always the one where, like, I wasn't freaking out. I would just be like, oh, okay. So now we just get in our stance and we do this. Okay, cool. So I was never like the one who was like, oh man, like what's going on? Like I always be like, all right, Tommy, like we got this, like whatever. Like we'll do like some hand signals and stuff like that to get each other like back to square one or whatever. So
what were you ranked coming out of high school? And what did you think about being ranked?
I was number 4 in the state. It was Drew Henson, Larry Foote, Josh Thornhill, and then me. I was grateful because starting off, I had no idea what I was doing. Like I never grew up like wanting to play football and I never had a dream of playing in the NFL. I just always wanted to compete and start. That was it. And so when I first went out onto the field, they told me to line up at guard. And I kid you not, Sean, I asked the coach, Coach Dale Harvell, rest in peace. I said, point guard or shooting guard? So he was like, man, get this dude out my face. Like, what? Because that's all I knew was basketball. I didn't know center, guard, tackle, tight end, like nothing. I knew like wide receiver, running back, quarterback, linebacker. I didn't know all of these other terms. Like you're talking like safety, like strong safety and a free safety. Like what? What is that? Like I was a safety in elementary school, but you talking about a strong safety? Was that a safety that gets you across the street strongly? Like, I don't know. Like what you talking about? So like to come from that to the point where I'm number 4 in the state, like, I was like, man, like, I was really grateful. I was really grateful that I was, you know, just any ranking, like, I would appreciate it. But to be top 5, like, that was dope. And Drew Henson played in the league. Larry Foote played in the league. So I was with some good dudes, like, some good competition. I think Larry probably played, like, 13, 15 years.
get back to the rest of the interview in just a minute. If you've enjoyed Winning Is Not Everything, there's a chance you'd absolutely love my new video series, Model Student Athlete. It's my passion to teach youth sports character traits to help athletes grow, not just on the field, but off the field. And this video course is just the thing to help them really level up. The 8 courses focus on different character keys like gratitude, effort, humility, and attitude. Each feature an impactful video that's roughly 15 to 20 minutes long and also comes with a lot of downloadable resources to keep the momentum going, as well as quotable memes and even a quiz to see if you've mastered becoming a model student athlete. You can get each of the 8 courses individually, or you can get a great discount plus some exclusive bonuses if you get one of the Model Student Athlete course bundles. Oh, and use the code WINNING to get an additional 40% off your purchase as a thank you to our listeners. Head to modelstudentathlete.com to get started and use the code WINNING for 40% off your purchase. Model Student Athlete, where character counts more than the score. So as a dad now, how do you guide your kids' sports journey?
I'm at the point now where I'm more concerned with their academics more so than sports. Like, I would love for my kids to play sports because it teaches you how to become accountable, you know, for people that are counting on you. And, you know, it's just great camaraderie and, you know, everything that sports has to offer. But it's like my son, I really don't want him to play football, like, ultimately. Like, if it was up to me, you know, I would just, like, have him not play at all. Because I don't want him to feel like how I do at age 39. You know, like, you never know. Like, any given morning, my ankle may give out, or my back may slip out of place, or my knees. I went to see some doctors to get evaluation, and they told me that my body is really, like, 56 years old. And I'm like, what? 56? Really? And so, like, the football take a toll on your body, man. And so, like, I really don't want him to play. But I'm going to let the decision be his when he turned 14. And I know he's going to want to play. But I'm not going to say, oh, no, you can't play or whatever. Because I tell him, like, I play football so you don't have to. But I know he doesn't understand that, and he's going to want to play, and he's going to want to outdo me. I know that. So I'm going to let him play, you know, when he turns 14. But as of now, he's doing every other sport besides football. Like, he's fencing, he's swimming, he does track and field. He was number 4 in the nation in javelin for 11, 12-year-olds, I think. I'd rather he play baseball, golf, or something like that. Like, something like, my wife's granddad is 103 years old. He still plays golf. Still.
Wow.
So, like, you know, I'd rather Anthony play golf. But I know he's gonna wanna play football because he's gonna wanna outdo me. And you know, when he starts playing, which I know that he is, I'm gonna support him. And but I let him know, like, look, you just don't get on the field and be great. Like, you gotta work for it. And the same energy and effort that you put into football, you have to put in the books. And I was like, it doesn't work. Like, you can't have one without the other. You can't be great in football and just be average or, like, below average when it comes to academics. Like, it just does not work. Like, Whenever you get a scholarship somewhere, the first thing they're going to look at is your grades. And if you don't have them, then there's nothing they can do with you. Like, you can have all the talent in the world. Like, you can be the greatest ever. You could be the GOAT. If you don't have the grades, nobody will never know. And so I try to tell them that all the time. And even though I sound like a broken record, I'm going to keep telling them. I'm like, look, man, I'm retired. I got nothing but time. I'm going to keep telling you this stuff until you leave this house. And when you leave this house, I'm going to tell you the same thing too. So you always going to hear. And then the thing about what he don't realize is that there's a lot of dads in the world, and they always are going to give you the information that you need in order to, you know, prosper yourself. But at the end of the day, I am going to give you that information, but I also know what I'm talking about because I was a professional athlete and you're trying to get to where I already was. So I'm telling you this stuff because I know. And so like, he don't really get it right now because he's just like, oh, that's just my dad. And those are things that dads say. But yeah, I've actually been a professional athlete and I was at the point where I wanted to go to college, but I didn't have those NFL aspirations. But I knew that if I worked hard enough, I could start and I could compete. And that's all I really wanted to do when I got to college. Like I said, I didn't have that dream of going to the NFL, but I knew that some of the people that were getting drafted, I was like, I know they saw that Penn State tape. They drafted that guy? Oh, man, I might got a shot. And so I'm trying to get Ant into that mode. But at the same time, it's like, you know, you get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to do these workouts by yourself. Like, there's nobody around. There's nobody making me get up at 6 o'clock to go work out. I do that on my own. Like, you got to have that type of work ethic. And that same type of work ethic, you have to somehow transfer that into the books. Otherwise, it's just not going to work.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to Winning Is Not Everything. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you know when part 3 of my conversation with Anthony Adams goes live next Tuesday. Also, please write a review and share Winning Is Not Everything with others. If you have questions, reach out to me through my website, seankjensen.com. Winning is not everything, but the 3 H's to be a real hero in life are hustle, humility, and heart. I'm your host, Sean Jensen, and we'll see you again next time.